Did you see Tommy Wiseau's new short film?
What? The Room Guy?
Yes.
Really?
The House That Bleeds on Alex's Head or something like that.
Is he in it?
He stars. He did not write, produce, or direct it, but he is the star.
Like, is he the
God, fan? You're tearing me apart, AJ!
Exploding Barrel Podcast for October 15th, 2010. This is Mike Minotti. I'm joined by my brother, Edge Guy.
Yo.
And I'm also joined by our good friend, George Kokoris.
Woo! What's going on, dudes?
It's going.
It's going? That's it? That's all the enthusiasm you can muster right now?
I'll be in plenty enthusiastic later. There's like a lot of like dirt going around the industry this week.
Oh, fucking, yeah, the drama llama visited the game industry yesterday.
This is gonna be a good show, I think. So, you know, we'll start off with the news. Plenty of that to cover. Then we got the quiz. Let's go topical. Our week in gaming and the releases. But, you know, let's get to the news. I'm excited about this. And okay. I bet AJ doesn't lead off with it, by the way.
I was gonna talk about NPDs.
Yeah, I knew it. All right, well, let's hear it.
Okay. Well, we always start with NPDs.
Well, apparently NPDs aren't cool anymore.
No. The NPD group has announced that they're not going to give that shit for free no more.
Damn.
Whoa.
And the thing is, I went on Twitter after this announcement and saw like six people tweeting like, thank God, I don't have to hear podcasts spout numbers anymore. To which we'd like to say we're sorry. We didn't know you didn't like it.
I thought that was like the best part of the month.
Yeah.
We kind of got excited,
yeah.
Oh, well.
But they are still giving a generalized video game top 10 list, but it combines all SKUs.
That's good, I guess.
Which kind of skews the numbers, because if something is on like every platform ever, then of course it's going to have more sales. It
skews the numbers. You really just did that.
I did.
I was impressed. I was going to let it go.
Oh, I
liked it. It's a good pun.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I couldn't let that one slide. My apologies.
That's fine. Microsoft was the only company to come out and say how many of things they sold, 485,000 Xboxes and 3.3 million copies of Halo, so they seemed at least proud of their numbers.
Well, that's a pretty high number, thanks in part to Halos.
So yeah, that happened.
I was going to say, what's with the silence?
I don't know, I just kind of had a mental hiccup.
Okay, what's next? What about the software? Tell me about it.
I have a list. I'll run through it real quick. It goes Halo Reach, Madden, Dead Rising 2, NHL, FIFA, Kingdom Hearts, Mafia 2, Spider-Man, Metroid, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 2.
All right. I'm glad Kingdom Hearts charted.
Yeah.
That pleases me. Not bad for a PSP game. Oh, man. So that's that.
That's a once in a blue moon thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Maybe for the last time. All right, what's next?
So I'm guessing this is what you want me to do before. First we have the sequel to the EA Spouse. This is the EA Louse.
Wait, who is that making that noise?
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
That was the sound of my soul dying.
You want to explain it then, George?
Like, George obviously has a spin on it, AJ. You have to give us the no spin take on it first.
I don't know, some guy who worked at EA Mythic is...
Mythic who?
The guys who made Warhammer Online.
Yes.
Just made an anonymous blog about how shitty management there is and, you know, complaining about bad work conditions.
Dude was just straight up just, like, bitching about his boss. Like, yeah, okay, we give a shit, sure, whatever.
But you don't give a shit, George.
I don't, I'm sorry. It's like, you know, when you're working in a place and your boss is fucking up, then, you know, the way you solve the problem is you take it up with him or you take it up with his superiors. And if nothing works, if there's absolutely no way that you can kind of get him to straighten his shit out, you fucking leave. You go somewhere else. The moment you post an anonymous blog post being like, yo, my boss is a fucking douchebag, that's like, who cares? Who fucking cares? Sure, he's a douchebag. 90% of the people on the planet are... Well, okay, not 90%, but a big chunk of people on the planet are douchebags, right?
Well, and, I mean, it's not like this big revelation that, like, yes, working for a large corporation in America sucks.
Yeah, and, I mean, you know, of course there are people who are, like, you know, managing things poorly and, you know, fucking up and stabbing each other in the back. Yeah, okay, that happens all the time. When you call somebody out on it in public, the only thing you're doing is you're making yourself look more like an asshole. And you never stay anonymous for very long. People will find out who you are eventually. And in the meantime, you know, the bullshit that you're saying accomplishes absolutely nothing. There is, I mean, you know, there's never been a point where somebody has, like, you know, put an anonymous blog post up somewhere. I mean, you know, unless it was, you know, if it was the, you know, the whole EA spouse thing with Aaron Hoffman and all that, you know, that was a very clear violation of somebody's rights. This, on the other hand, this is just like, you know, okay, some guy was a douchebag and mismanaged a game and the game failed because of it. So? That shit happens all the time. I mean, you know, when I was working at Atari, I had a couple of experiences where I was dealing with people who were, let's say, you know, less than ethical in their intra-office interactions, but I wasn't going to call them out in public. Shit, there's no way in hell I would ever tell anybody who those people were. Because, I mean, you know, I'd be fucking them over, and I'm not going to be that much of a dick. So, I mean, like, you know, the whole thing, and then, of course, you know, the way everybody reacted to it, and... David Jaffe's response was absolutely hilarious, because he's like, why the fuck is everybody so fucking goddamn immature? You're like, do you hear what you're saying?
Yeah.
Do you understand?
So mean.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why the fucking bullshit? Like, whatever. I mean, like, okay, I curse a lot. I don't curse half as much as he does. And he's just like, why is everybody so immature? Here's a mirror, Dave. Take a look.
So you guys are not impressed by this?
No,
it's just
I am
someone
not.
Bitching.
Yeah, exactly. It's some dude bitching
like,
about
any
his
other,
boss.
Like, could you imagine some guy made a blog about like his manager at the grocery store is a douche? Like, no one would care. Like, I don't even understand why this is news, except that it's from EA.
Yeah.
Okay. What about the Dota thing?
Okay. Well, let's just get this out of the way. Valve has announced Defense of the it's not Defense of the Ancients 2. It is. Dota
it is
2.
Dota
it's
2, yes.
Dota.
The word Dota, yes.
And it is Defense of the Ancients 2 in the Source Engine, pretty faithful to the original and everything. Coming to PC Mac, uses Steamworks, the whole shebang. It's really no big surprise.
Isn't it really weird, though, that Valve is making a game that pretty much uses Blizzard art assets? Maybe not their assets, but you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, I mean, I imagine the art will change.
I don't think it will. Did you see the pieces of art that there are?
No, I actually didn't see them come up yet. I mean, I know it was a Game Informer story. I haven't got it yet.
I mean, it's just the whole thing's a little weird to me. And this whole situation's weird because the person that they have working on this game from Dota was like the guy. This guy didn't create Dota or anything. He was like in charge of it for a while at some point. And I guess there's some big controversy because apparently. Well, first off, there's someone at Valve made this whole post just about how much of a dick this guy is. And, like, this time I'm kind of inclined to agree with this guy just because the person who... This guy working at Valve now, his name is Ice Frog. And that's what he wants to be called. And Valve will not give you his real name.
Wait, really?
Yeah, I am not
okay,
joking.
Okay, see, this is like... Because like, I knew he had an alias, and I knew that, you know, his forum name was Ice Frog. I didn't realize that... He insisted on being called Ice Frog and
George,
didn't want anybody
in the credits
using
for
his
the game.
Real...
The credits for the game it will be developed by Ice Frog.
What a fucking douchebag!
Yes,
we have
honestly.
A guy at Welcome Full Sail who insists on world, everybody using his alias, and like, what do you do with somebody like that? Be like, yo, listen, my name's not Dave. It's actually Lord Zoltan. No, it's not. Shut your fucking mouth, Dave.
Yeah. Honestly, this whole Dota thing, this thing has been a mess for a long time. Like, I was just kind of, like, reading into it. Well, the problem is that Dota was a mod for Warcraft 3. And it's hard to say exactly who made it, you know? Because somebody did this, and somebody else added this and made their version of Dota.
Yeah, exactly.
So
it was, like, a
so
bunch
forth.
Of dudes who were, like, adding game mechanics and whatever. And, like,
and they weren't working together. You know, someone would just take it and then add something, and someone else would take it. You know, it's hard to say who owns Dota, and there's already been two spiritual successors: Heroes of New Earth and League of Legends. League of Legends was made by the one guy who might have even more of a claim to the game's ownership than this Ice Frog guy.
Well, I mean, at least in the case of League of Legends, that guy, I don't remember his real name, but he uses the handle Pendragon. At least he lets people use his real name.
Right.
You know, he struck me as a little bit more genuine when he responded to some bullshit like that, because, you know, he was saying that he doesn't want to claim ownership of the game. He just, like, at some point, his company wanted to claim the Defense of the Ancients trademark, just so they could open it back up, you know, so that it wouldn't be this, like, weird proprietary thing where somebody was claiming ownership. And, like, that seems a little bit more kind of genuine to me. I mean, the other hand, like, I don't give a rat's ass about, you know, Dota or any of its variants, because, like, you know, I tried playing LoL once and I fell asleep after, like, 10 minutes. So, you know, I
don't... That's an interesting thing. Like, this is not going to be a game that probably any of us will be able to play. This
exactly.
game is hardcore.
It is targeted specifically at people who are hardcore into Defense of the Ancients, and then moved right from that to either Heroes of New Earth or League of Legends. And so, you know, I mean, it's like specifically for that fan base. And, you know, for them, I mean, for Valve, it's good, right? Because they, you know, they have their built-in audience, and, you know, it's kind of a safe bet for them. But at the same time, like, what is with all of this other fucking, like, dramatic bullshit?
I just don't know what I don't understand why Valve really wants a part of it. Get that.
I could see the appeal of taking a well-known brand, creating the next version of it, because you have built-in marketing right there, by virtue of being the next in the franchise. Like, I don't know where I sit on the whole argument over, like, who gets to use the name Dota, because, like you said, it was just this mishmash of people. It wasn't like a company. So, like, who can claim ownership of it? And, frankly, I mean, part of me wants to say, yeah, Valve got there first. I mean, other part, like, yeah, they could just, like, call this something else and just not worry about it.
I mean, like, the name is, like, I mean, that's the weird thing, that, you know, League of Legends is, you know, I mean, obviously the name League of Legends bears no resemblance to the name Dota. I don't think Riot Games has really had any trouble getting people's attention.
Yeah.
So I don't really understand,
like,
what the deal is with the name. I mean, like, I guess on kind of a larger, more general level, the thing that frustrated me the most about all of that drama was the fact that, you know, like, I would look down a Twitter feed, I would do a search for, you know, people's reactions to this, and the weird thing was that I saw more outrage over, like, this, like, stupid, like, fucking bullshit between all these different companies and all their silly drama than I did over, like, the fucking oil spill in the Gulf. I'm like, why are you angrier about this? What the hell is your problem?
I will just say, when this anonymous Valve employee basically made a blog post just saying that Ice Frog is a dick and that he's hurting the culture of Valve. Do you guys put any stock in that?
Here's the
no,
thing.
I think he's overreacting. You have assholes everywhere. If you let them ruin the spirit of your company, then your company wasn't very strong to begin with.
Here's the thing. When you really look at all the kind of fine print to this announcement, I might have read this wrong, because it is all kind of confusing, but it sounds like Eric Wolpow is actually handling more of the lead development, not this Ice Frog fellow.
Well, according to Anonymous Valve guy, that happened because Ice Frog was such an unlikable jerk or something. I don't even know. Something along those lines.
Hey, you know what? Any decision to put Wolpow in charge of something is okay with me, because I like that guy.
Although the blogger was critical of that, because saying, who's this guy again in charge of it?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I said Eric Wolpow. I meant Eric Johnson. Eric Wolpow's the writer they got for.
Yeah,
I mixed up my Valve Erics.
Whoever is in charge of it, this blogger is saying, is not qualified to be in charge of it. But that's what, I don't know. This thing just seems a little messy to me.
And what, and then this random dude who worked on Dota once is?
This seems like, and I hate to bring this up again, But why? What are they doing this for? Like, I'm so much. You got to give me something about episode 3, guys. At least tell me you're not making it at this point. Well, before you're announcing, before you're announcing the sequel to what is essentially a Blizzard game, like what?
Well, you know, this is the first of 4 of Gabe Newell's big announcements for the next 12 months. So,
oh, man.
1 down, 3 to go.
Oh, I guess, and besides all the drama, I can't personally give a shit because, you know, Dota is, that's never going to happen. A round of Dota is like 50 minutes long. No way. All right, let's move on. I think we there's a little bit more of this. Let's go topical, but let's move on for now.
Okay. The Killzone 3 beta is coming, and it will be for some PlayStation Plus subscribers. Because as you know, one of the big incentives advertised to PlayStation Plus is exclusive access to betas. But it's only going to be for the first 5,000 people to sign up in North America and the first 5,000 to sign up in Europe, which means even if you are a subscriber, you're not guaranteed a spot in this beta. I think that's really dumb.
Well, I'm sure they'll probably open it up eventually.
Yeah, but like...
I understand that maybe they sold people something and... I mean, they never promise that, you know, sign up for PlayStation Plus, you're going to get the Killzone 3 beta.
I just think to me, like, if you buy something, like, if you buy a carton of milk and it says, there's milk in here, but then, like, you open it up and some of the cartons are half full and some are all the way full, that's probably a bad metaphor.
Well, look,
it?
If you bought PlayStation Plus, you get what's coming.
That's a good point.
So there, how about that?
Well said, actually.
All right.
Yeah, that makes the most sense. I mean, I don't really understand what the logic is in limiting a beta, because you know you want to have the thing stress tested by as many people as possible. But
well, I'm saying they probably
if Sony
will
wants
want it
to do that,
tested.
then whatever, let them do what they're gonna do because I don't give a shit anymore.
I'm sure the stress test phase will come out and it will be opened up. All right, what's next?
Let us rejoice, for Tim Langdell has lost the Edge trademark.
That's yes!
Who did he
yes!
say? Edge? Edge Magazine?
He Edge, the iPhone game that was made by, like, one guy who all of a sudden was being sued.
Yeah, poor
and
guy.
It's a fantastic game, too.
It is a really good game.
So EA took him to court when they tried, because, you know, he was kind of picking on little people for a while, but then, you know, he tried to sue EA, which was brilliant, by the way. So they took him to court. The final ruling, the judge stripped them of his trademark, but they did not award Valve any damages or court costs.
In EA.
So, EA, Valve, what did I say? Yeah, EA. So EA kind of took one for the team for the good of the industry, I guess is how you could look at it.
All right.
But yeah, he was stripped of all of his
trademarks.
Which is
good, because EA is kind of not the evil empire anymore.
Right, right.
But not according to EA's spouse. Or Laos, or whatever the hell his name is. Mouse?
Well, no. According to EA, Laos, there's a couple of douchebags working there. But so?
Yeah.
There are douchebags everywhere. It's like there is no such thing as a corporation that has no assholes in it. It's just,
what about Pixar?
I'm pretty sure that there is at least 2 or 3 people at Pixar who have lousy attitudes and don't do their jobs, but that's fine, because everybody else usually picks up the slack.
All right, let's move on.
Anyway, it also should be noted that the IGDA...
The IGDA kicked him out.
Kicked him out. And everyone's just kind of like, okay, see, yeah, you are an asshole. Now get out of here. No one likes you anymore.
That's funny. By the way, Beer's Edge... Like, after the fact now, everyone agrees that's cool again, right? Like, before that came out, everybody thought it was cool. Then it came out, and, like, a lot of people were down on it. It seems like now everyone thinks it's cool again.
Hey, man, I was there 100% the whole time. I don't know why the hell...
I was there.
I don't understand what was that contingency of people that, like, for some reason just didn't like the game, and now they like it again?
Yeah, where are these people?
What changed your mind?
Every time I ask somebody what they thought about Mirror's Edge, they're like, oh, I loved it. Then where the hell are these fuckers who didn't like it when it came out? Because there were plenty of them. Where'd they go? I don't know.
I think they just stopped caring and moved on. But
maybe.
Yeah, whatever. If you're an AT&T UVerse subscriber, starting Monday, you can use your 360 as a set-top box.
That's pretty cool.
As prophecies once foretold.
I don't know what that means. Let's move on.
Basically, you can use your Xbox 360 like an additional cable box.
Did I ask Expedition.
Fine. Thanks for that. You're getting some Rock Band news.
Oh my god. What could there even be? What could there possibly be that's worth talking about anymore?
This, because it's the best news. They've announced that sometime shortly after Rock Band 3 comes out, they're releasing Bon Jovi's Greatest Hits as DLC.
Gosh. Wow. Who even cares anymore?
I know.
Listen, it was exciting when you had to wait for the set list release for each game. You had to like scour through the 20 songs there to see if a song you liked was there. Now it's like every song ever is on there anymore. I don't care. It's too much. Remember, you know what it's like, AJ? It's like the Beanie Babies. Remember how much fun it was to collect Beanie Babies when like 5 new ones came out every few months? Then all of a sudden like 30 of them were out every week and we stopped caring? That's what it is. Perfect analogy.
I see that.
Next.
Damn. Just laying down the law right there.
Right.
So, for the fans of Bioshock 2 who have it on the PC, they've announced that none of the DLC will be coming to the PC. This includes Minerva's Den, which is apparently pretty good, and the Protector Trials.
For them.
Yeah.
It's a drag.
It's a weird decision. Like, I don't see how hard it would be to put it out there. Oh, well.
It's got to be a licensing thing or something.
Yeah. Those guys are making XCOM now, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
A Spanish Sega representative let slip something called Sonic Anniversary, which is apparently some sort of reimagining of some of the best levels from every Sonic game ever in 2D and 3D.
That sounds really weird to me.
Yes.
Wait, some of the best Sonic levels ever in 2D and 3D. So,
like,
does that mean that there are some 3D Sonic levels that qualify as the best ever?
No, I think it means like they'll take some of the 2D ones and make them 3D.
No, that's not what it means. I think it means they're gonna just make a game where, like, the first level is Green Hill Zone, and like one of the other levels can be the one with the whales chasing you for Sonic Adventure.
I like that level.
Yeah, sure. I guess City Escape.
Yeah. Some good music.
Oh, I don't know what to think of this thing, but we have to see what it's like.
Right. I mean, right now it's just like one guy from Spain who probably shouldn't have talked.
One guy from Spain. He knew all about Sonic. Maybe it doesn't even exist. He had a little switch tequila. He thought it was a good idea.
Yeah. Tequila's Mexican, you racist bastard.
They gotta drink something there.
Anyway. Did you see Sega admitted that they may have been guilty, quote unquote, of releasing too many Sonic games in the past?
Well, okay, I guess they can say however they want, but it seems like there sure are a lot of Sonic games coming out soon anyways.
Right, right.
But whatever.
So remember how Spielberg told us he was going to challenge our emotions in the realm of video games?
Did he just give up instead?
What, LMNO?
Yes, EA has canceled Project LMNO.
I bet Steven Spielberg got distracted and lost interest.
Probably.
Like I always figured that project never existed, and he was just blowing smoke up everybody's
ass. Idea too. Like that. Like, I wonder how much work was really ever done on Peter Jackson's Halo game.
Right.
A game was canceled that I actually do care about. So that's kind of bummed out.
Yeah. We could go to that. Pirates of the Caribbean: Armada of the Damned has been canned, and most of that development team let go.
Now that's a damn shame.
Yeah, you played this, right?
I played it, which is kind of cool now because, like, I'm one of the few people who played it.
You played a non-existent game.
Yeah,
that's always a good mark to have to your name.
Yeah, but it's a bummer because it was really cool. Actually, it was basically like a Fable game, but set in the parts of the Caribbean world.
It looked good. I like the whole premise of your actions like determine look of your character. Is he like a swashbuckling rogue or like, you know, like a kind of Davy Jones looking fellow, and it affected your ship's appearance. And I thought the game had a lot of cool stuff going for it. It's kind of a shame.
You know, it's funny, like the word going around, and I don't know if this is true, but word going around is that Disney, that Propaganda, the studio developing it, was actually pretty damn close to finishing the game. And the reason that Disney canceled it was because its portrayal of piracy was a little bit too accurate, and they thought it was going to get a T rating from the ESRB, and that was unacceptable to them.
Oh my god.
See, that's weird, because, I mean, the Pirates of the Caribbean movies are PG-13.
I don't know if I believe that.
Yeah, I don't buy that either.
I mean, it might be, maybe, I don't know, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
But it's just
Well, I mean, like, hey, that, I just heard that, I haven't had
no.
I haven't had a chance to look into it, see whether it's true or not.
No, I appreciate you telling us that. But just like when I, you know, playing that game and being shown it, by the way, by, you know, one of the developers on it, and like thinking about all the art assets and all the work that I could just see from playing it, it's depressing to think about this. Like normally I'm much more removed.
Now you're on the inside.
Yeah, I'm usually much more removed from these things. It's like, oh, it's a shame. That is terrible. I mean, man. First off, it's depressing because I'm pretty sure that game was going to be good. A lot of work was done to it. They're laid off. It wasn't just canceled. Ah, that's terrible. I don't understand that at all.
Well, I mean, that kind of thing does happen all the time, though.
I guess it does, but...
pretty unfortunate.
It's a bummer. Mm-hmm. Add Pirates of the Caribbean or Mount of the Damned to the list with Star Fox 2 and Sonic Extreme. Next.
Blizzard banning people for using cheats in the single-player portion of StarCraft II.
They justify it by saying those cheats could be used in the multiplayer version. So, like, if you get them, you know.
That, fine. What pisses me off is when they say, well, this could also affect your achievements, and who gives a fuck?
But what do the achievements have to do with anything in Blizzard?
Nothing. That's just it. They don't have to do anything anywhere. Like, so you use the cheat, and you got an achievement in single player, and, like, someone else earned it. Now you make them feel bad. Like, fuck off.
Yeah.
I like achievements, but I hate it when people try to pretend like they matter. I really do. They're fun. I enjoy getting them. I was playing Split Second earlier today, and I got a bunch of achievements, and I got excited. You hear that noise, and you perk up a bit. But if I found out that someone used a cheat code to get an achievement that I got, I don't give a shit. I have far better things to worry about.
I guess it's one of those kind of, you know, losing the forest for the trees kind of things that, unfortunately, the game industry at large, you know, the developers, publishers, gamers, everybody is guilty of on a regular basis. And, you know, I mean, of course, you know, when you're working on this game and, you know, and you're working on a particular feature and you're being really, really detail focused, then yeah, of course, it's all about, oh man, the achievements have to be like perfectly fair and perfectly balanced. And if a bunch of dudes cheat to get one of the achievements, then the whole thing is fucked up. And you're like, no, it's not. Fucking relax, you know, as long as the cheat isn't ruining the experience for other players directly, then it's cool. I mean, like, you know, I don't really understand the whole fixation with achievements to begin with. I mean, you know, if you look at my Xbox Live gamer tag, I mean, that account is like 8 years old, and I have like 5,000 gamer points. I know people with like 2-year-old accounts who have like 40,000. You know, I don't really get the focus on it. It's weird.
What?
Next we have... I closed my thing. There it goes. Okay, here we go. If you are still a fan of Pokemon Gold and Silver, how would you like to get the most elusive Pokemon of them all? Mew!
Woo!
Between... Sounds like a commercial.
What, me or the store?
You. But keep
going.
Yeah,
I know. Between today, the 15th to the 30th, you just use the mystery gift thing in the game, and you get Mew.
And it's kind of almost depressing that it's that easy, considering how hard it was to get Mew before.
I got him.
Like, you had to go to, like, a Toys R Us on a very specific day. Like, you had, like, one chance. Like, you had to, like, gave you a card. If you, like, matched up certain things, then you had to go and, like, connect your Game Boy to one of the Nintendo guys' Game Boys and got your Mew.
You had to trade off something you didn't want anymore, so I got rid of a Pidgey.
Oh, man. So intense back then. You got the Mew, and I was jealous. Jealous as hell.
Yep. I loved it. I loved every second of it.
Man, this I would... I think I would probably start playing Pokemon again if instead of fainting, they died. So then, like if your Pokemon lost a fight, it was gone forever, then I would start playing Pokemon again. Holy shit.
No.
That would be awesome.
That would not be awesome at all.
That would totally be awesome. Annoying. It would be just like Eve. It would be amazing.
Yeah, they can make hardcore mode.
Yeah, how about no? How about no? Next.
So this is interesting. Apparently, some of you might recall, Outrun Online Arcade came out last year, and the big deal about it was that it had licensed Ferrari cars in it. Well, apparently Sega only got a limited license, meaning the PSN version of the game is coming down, like, now, and the 360 version will come down at the end of 2011.
Oh.
Now, why can't they even just patch the game to just have some generic cars or something so it could still be out?
Right, that's kind of weird.
It just seems like, A, like, what was the value of putting Ferraris in that game? I mean, the fact that it's Outrun was enough for most people.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that, like, the Outrun franchise has this, like, history with Ferrari cars. But, I mean, yeah,
Does it?
Huh?
It doesn't have a history of Ferrari, does it?
I think a fair number of the... Maybe not the original, but I think a fair number of the Outrun games have had the Ferrari license. But, you know, in any case, it was funny because, you know, I was talking about this earlier today in a completely unrelated conversation, but... title updates on PSN and Xbox Live do cost a fair amount of money, but I mean, doing a title update just to patch out the branding probably would have been worth it because then you'd be able to, you know, still sell the game.
Or even if they just planned, like, if you knew it was going to expire, just plan that ahead of time. And then literally once that time runs over, the game just reverts to the other model.
Yeah, exactly.
Seems to me if you can only get a timed expire. So you couldn't have done it at all, but I don't
know. Yeah, like I said, I don't see the initial value in it, but whatever. I mean, also, we're talking about Outrun Online or Arcade Online, whatever. I think if you wanted that game, by now you have it. If not, you probably were never going to buy it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of weird that we're almost getting to this point where publishers are putting games out with the full knowledge that they're not going to be, you know, that the game isn't going to be available forever, which kind of sucks, especially, you know, when it comes to anything that's distributed digitally, because then, you know, you're artificially imposing a lifespan on this game. You're putting an expiration date on this piece of software. And, you know, I mean, while it's unlikely in the case of Outrun, you know, if, like, you know, it, like, 10 years from now, if every copy of Deus Ex ever released just, like, either evaporated or locked out permanently, that would suck. Like, if you wanted to go back and play some old classic game and you couldn't because the game literally no longer existed, that, I don't know, there's something about that just, like, really doesn't sit well with me, and I guess I'm glad that Outrun was sort of like the first of those because I didn't really lose that much. But to see it happen
to a game more important than Outrun, at least I hope.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I would hope not, but I mean, who knows? The moment that publishers find out that it's cheaper to license things for a limited period of time, you know what I mean? Like, can you imagine a developer that puts out a game that uses, like, Havoc for its physics and they get a time-limited Havoc license? So they license Havoc for 24 months, and then 24 months after the game comes out, nobody can play it anymore. It's like, it's gone. Forever. That would suck, especially if it were a good game or an important game.
I have a question. If you own this Burnout game, you can still play it, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you could still play it, you just wouldn't be able to...
buy it anymore.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, then, if it's ever would behave too big a problem, the natural course of piracy and the interwebs would solve the problem for us.
Games
wouldn't disappear forever.
No, that's true.
All right, what's next?
Let's see. Speaking of cars, to no one's perhaps great surprise, Gran Turismo 5 has been delayed.
When was it supposed to come out?
Again, November 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when's it coming out now?
They will only say holiday.
Man.
Oof. Which could technically still be early 2011.
They won't I love the
to that either.
I love that on the I think it was the joystick story for this the joystick article for this story, the accompanying illustration was the final shot of Planet of the Apes with the Statue of Liberty sticking up out of the water with just a copy of Gran Turismo 5 in place of the book. I thought that was brilliant.
But I love their excuse for it is it was like polishing the inner workings of the systems in the game or something. Now
you wouldn't be doing that late in development. I'm sorry. I mean, unless unless your QA found some huge ass bug.
Yeah, because it just seems to me like at this point, late in the game, it sounds like they've just been adding cars and tracks, but like you would think after 6 years or whatever, they had like the physics in place. Like I don't know what they like. You're right. Like it seems like something that shouldn't have been happening less than a month before it was supposed to come out in the first place.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think honestly, I'm sure the game will be good and fans of the series will enjoy it, but that is not just an economically sound way to develop a game. They can't do that again, like, ever.
No. Sony really, they need this game to come out before Christmas, but, I mean, they already lost Little Big Planet 2 to a delay.
Yeah.
If they lose this, they don't have...
They don't have a big Christmas release.
They don't, at all.
Yeah.
Like, not it's not a exclusive anyways. Alright.
Yeah, so they're in trouble. Next.
Are we running out of news stories soon?
No, I got a lot. It was a busy week.
It's not that important.
Okay, I just want to throw this out real quick.
All right, what is it?
Discuss it at length. Nathan Fillion is campaigning on Twitter to play the role of Nathan Drake in the Uncharted film.
Here's my question. Do you really think this movie's going to happen?
Probably not.
Yeah, no.
It's too bad. If it did, though, he would be good for the role. But
yeah, if not Nolan North himself.
I wonder if David O. Russell will yell at him.
Probably.
Or want to fight him.
But Nathan Fillion will just punch him out.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's true.
Let's see. So this is cool. There's been a fan remake of Duke Nukem 3D in the works using the Unreal Engine. They kind of showed it off a couple weeks ago. And Gearbox has given it their blessing. They've given him a non-commercial license for the property. And they're saying, you know, great, go for it. Release it. We think that's fantastic. So it's kind of nice in the world of like cease and desist letters being sent out to all these guys. For a company to say, hey, this is free advertising for us. Yeah, make your game.
Yeah. I gotta say that, I mean, you know, at least based on, based on the people that I've met and just, you know, the way that they interact with their fan base, Gearbox really has their sort of, their public facade really figured out. They're they seem like a real stand-up bunch of dudes. I like that.
Yes. Next, we have confirmation that NBA Jam for 360 and PS3 is in fact a disc release and not a download any longer.
Yes.
I just hope that's gonna be $60, $50, fine.
Hey man, I'm totally gonna be all over that.
Yes, me too, probably.
Yeah.
I have the Wii version.
How is the Wii version?
I kind of really like the.
We'll get to it. We'll be talking about our games.
Okay.
Next, Monday, Netflix comes as a built-in app to the PlayStation 3 with some enhancements. A new UI, 1080p streaming for some content, and 5.1 digital surround sound through Dolby Digital Plus.
Whoa.
Yes. Now, these features will be coming to the Xbox and other Netflix platforms, but they are on the PS3 first.
Huh. That's pretty sweet.
The new interface is really cool looking, too.
Well, that would be enough to get me to start using my PS3 exclusively for Netflix, especially since I have a remote.
Yeah, like I would probably start using Netflix on it too now in light of this until 360 gets patched up.
Yeah, I mean, like I just like the fact that I would be able to use my remote instead of using a 360 controller. Huh.
And the final item I have on my list here. If you pre-order Dragon Age 2 before January 11th, you automatically get what they're calling the BioWare Signature Edition of the game for free. So basically, instead of selling a collector's edition, it's just a pre-order bonus, but you have to pre-order it in time. What you get is what they're calling $20 of additional content, which includes a download code for a bonus playable character and missions, downloadable game soundtrack, exclusive in-game digital armory featuring multiple weapons, and additional downloadable items, which is like some... like a staff and a shield and stuff like that.
That seems pretty cool, but I miss the days when collector's editions came with making of videos.
Yeah.
It seems like Fallout that doesn't happen anymore. You always get a lot of DLC and, you know, I mean, and a soundtrack or like an art book or something, and that's cool. It's just, like, I would really like it if there were more collector's editions that actually showed you how the game was made.
Well, a lot of that anymore, though, comes out as just free videos.
Yeah, I mean, I guess now it kind of it's sort of moved to dev blogs, I guess.
It's all kind of used for promotion now.
Yeah. Okay, I'm done with the news.
All right, here's the quiz. You ready?
Yes.
All right, the original NBA Jam was released in what year?
1994.
Three.
Damn it!
Oh.
Two, what was the name of the first 3D version of NBA
Jam? Now, George, NBA Jam Extreme?
Extreme? Shit, I mean, like, Extreme, that doesn't sound surprising at all, but, man, I didn't even know there was a 3D version of NBA Jam.
It was on the 64.
They made a lot of 3D versions. There was an NBA Jam 97, like, they were years for a while.
Wait, really?
Mm-hmm.
What planet was I on when that was happening?
Probably none of them were very good.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, maybe, yeah.
This is good. Was it NBA Jam Extreme?
It was.
Yes!
Oh, right on.
How do you know that?
My one great memory of that game, because I was playing with my buddy, and the players on his team, the one guy's name was Morning, and the other guy's name was like K-N-I-G-H-T, Knight, and they had like the full commentary, and just he passed the ball, and the commentator just went, "From morning to night!" And we just thought that was really funny.
That is awesome.
Alright, what was the first Castlevania game to have a music-themed title?
Was it Symphony of the Night?
Was it Symphony of the Night? Shit.
What's a rondo?
Oh, a rondo is a piece of music.
Okay, so maybe it's
Rondo,
Rondo
of Blood.
Blood. Was it called Rondo of Blood, or was that just added for the PSP remake?
No, I'm pretty sure it was called Rondo of Blood. Maybe. Okay. Shit. I'm gonna say Rondo of Blood.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Yes, Rondo of Blood.
Yes.
Right on.
I was like, wait, what's a rondo?
Yeah.
That's what I thought that like that. Wait, what's a rondo? Besides the basketball player for the Celtics. All right.
3 years ago, you wouldn't have known that.
No. All right, you got three questions left. You get these three questions right, you win the quiz. You haven't won one in a while.
I know.
Do this. All right. What was the first Castlevania game for the Game Boy?
Ye old Game Boy.
Yes, original Game Boy.
Whoa.
Your mind.
Yeah, for God. Shit. I have no idea. Was it just called Castlevania? Do you think, George?
It's probably called that in Europe.
That's true.
I have no idea. I didn't even know there was a Castlevania game for the original Game Boy.
Let's just say Castlevania and be done with it.
Castlevania The Adventure.
The Adventure. Nice.
Question 5. How many total Castlevania games were there for the original Game Boy?
Great. Three?
Three.
Correct.
All right, cool.
Bonus question. Aquatic Ruin Zone is from what Sonic game?
Ooh, that is going to be Sonic...
Sonic CD?
No. I think it was 2.
Is that an answer?
Yeah, 2. Sonic 2.
Yeah, Sonic 2.
Correct.
Yes.
All right.
4 out of 5. Not bad.
Only got one
fucking
more,
1994-93. Every time. Always about fair year.
All right, guys, ready for Let's Go Topical?
Indeed.
All right, let's start with Edge Guy. You think less of Valve after hearing about the controversy behind Ice Frog, and maybe let's go ahead and add the fact that they hired somebody called Ice Frog.
The guy called Ice Frog stupid. Here's the thing, though. Our source for this is some anonymous guy with a blog. I mean, this is not a definitive news source. For all we know, it could just be some guy who, for whatever reason, is pissed off and is spreading rumors. I'm not, like, terribly offended by it. I think it's a weird situation. Like I said, I think the guy calling himself Ice Frog is stupid. But, like, I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, Valve's going to be fine. They're going to release Dota 2. It'll come out on Steam. It'll probably do pretty well for them. And in the end, everyone will be happy.
George.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat. That, you know, again, the whole concept of writing an anonymous blog post to call somebody out for being a douchebag is... I mean, like, just on the face of it, it's kind of offensive, right? Because, like, you know, the... If you're going to if you're going to say something anonymously in the public forum, you had best have something really damn important to say, you know? If you're not going to be nailing 99 theses to the door of the fucking church, right? Or if you're not going to be calling out some corporation for violating the human rights of its employees, if you're just going to whine about somebody having a terrible attitude and like messing with your corporate culture, just like grow up. If it's that frustrating, quit your job. You know, I mean, you can always make money. There's, you know, it's not like you're enslaved to this situation, and the only thing you can do is like whine about it in public. I mean, what an external locus of control to have. So, you know, as far as Valve as a company, no, it doesn't affect my opinion of them. I mean, okay, maybe I'm like a little frustrated that they have at least one employee who has this like really lousy attitude and feels this need to like just anonymously bitch about people on his blog. But I mean, other than that, like, whatever, screw this guy, screw Ice Frog, just Valve will do fine. They'll just keep doing their work. And yeah, you know, like AJ said, they'll put out a game and the game's going to sell and everything will be fine.
We call the episode Screw Ice Frog.
Yes, sure. Yes, we can.
George.
Yes.
One thing we didn't talk about in the EA Louse's blog is that he said that the Old Republic is in trouble. Do you believe him?
He said all of this shit about how, you know, what was it? How, you know, they have this, like, you know, this, like, 20 gig install that's almost entirely dialogue and the game sucks and Lucas is disappointed in it and whatever. I mean, there's no way for me to know whether or not he's right. I mean, just, I guess I'm a little bit more willing to believe it just because I tend to have a low opinion of MMOs in general. But, you know, again, that's just because, like, you know, I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, yeah, it looks like kind of a neat game in theory, but I don't like the idea of content-driven MMOs just on principle. But, you know, the fact that it's just this random dude who wrote an entire anonymous blog entry just complaining about his boss, and then in the middle of it threw in a couple of sentences about, oh, by the way, this other game we're working on totally sucks. I'm like, screw you, man. Just shut the hell up. Just go away. I don't even understand why this ever, like, made it onto Gama Sutra or any kind of, like, you know, major industry news site. Nobody fucking cares.
Well,
I mean, like, the big running
cares.
Joke in
you
the
can't
game
say
industry
nobody cares
is about
when it's become a pretty buzzworthy topic. It's hard to say no one cares.
Okay,
well, I mean,
no
I
one
guess
should
just,
care.
Well,
maybe
yeah,
the right word.
You know, and
there.
That's the thing. And I do think it's funny that the running joke in the game industry now, I mean, at least on Twitter, is about how nobody gives a shit. Like, you know, there were a couple of people who work at Uber Entertainment, the guys who made Monday Night Combat, and you know, and so like they started posting on Twitter and be like, "Oh my god, yo!" So it's like, air your company's dirty laundry day, so I'm totally gonna let you in on some, like, Uber Entertainment dirt, right? Ready? Ready? One time, I didn't like something, so I brought it up with one of my superiors, and we talked about it, we fixed it, now everything's pretty dope. And just like, yes! Some guy at Epic wrote an anonymous blog post about how Cliff Bleszinski is obsessed with Hostess fruit pies.
Yeah,
it's
amazing!
Rocket
Shotgun had some similar satire going on.
It is incredible. Actually, you know, one of my friends who's working on an indie game, he put out his most recent dev blog, and it was like, anonymous employee dishes on gossip, and actually no, it's just a dev blog, sorry. So, I mean, that's like the running joke right now, is that nobody gives a rat's ass, especially not about this anonymous dude's opinion of some game he's working on. I mean, okay, maybe the Old Republic will turn out to suck. I mean, I just don't really have high hopes because it's a content-driven MMO, and I don't really think that's a sustainable business model to begin with, but whatever.
Do you have high hopes for the Old Republic?
I
Are
do.
You concerned?
Am I shocked to hear the Old Republic costs a lot of money? No. Is it going to make a lot of money? Probably. So, you know, you spend money to make money, and obviously they feel that this investment's going to pay off. You know, like what do you say? They'd have like a $300 million budget or something? Well, friggin' big whoop. That's what they think costs? Okay. That's what they're willing to spend? Fine.
I don't know. I don't, like George says, it is one guy who he's from EA Mythic too. So like, what does he know about Tor?
Well, Mythic, BioWare. I mean, they share a lot of.
Oh, that's right.
They share a lot of their workforce. So I mean, okay, yeah. So you know, so maybe he has some sort of inside perspective. He said something about George Lucas being disappointed with the game. I mean.
Yeah, because I'm sure this guy got to meet George.
Exactly. You know, that's what I'm saying. Oh, yeah. So this, you know, yeah, I was talking to George Lucas over coffee the other day, and he was confiding in me that he's concerned that this game sucks. Dude, shut up. If the game sucks, we'll find out. It's cool.
In my head, George Lucas doesn't care about the Old Republic or maybe not know what it is.
Well, I mean,
he wants to know if it's going to make money like World of Warcraft.
Like, I would like to ask George Lucas what he thought about Knights of the Old Republic and see if he has any idea what I'm talking about.
Well, at least as far as I know, I'm pretty sure that he has to personally sign off on anything that uses the Star Wars IP.
Well, sure.
And especially like since Knights of the Old Republic kind of tried to plug directly into the canon, presumably he would have to know about it. Just to be aware of how it fit into the story.
Yeah, but I'm sure he didn't he probably saw the pitch, looked at it, said, "Okay, this is fine." But I don't think when the game came out, he like played it.
There's
like
probably not.
He probably got a synopsis. And probably the same thing with the Old Republic MMO. It's probably the same thing. Like, you know, he figures, you know, as long as it fits into the universe and doesn't violate any of the, you know, any of the rules that I've set out, fine, go ahead.
I mean, there's a guy at Lucas whose job is to make sure things fit in with the canon. I don't know how much George has to concern himself with that ultimate. But who knows?
Yeah, I suppose. Oh, yeah, he does have that one guy who does all that, doesn't he?
Right.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's
move
on.
Man, what a job.
AJ. You have no interest in Red Dead Redemption Undead Nightmare.
I would say no, but very little. I've warmed up to the idea somewhat because at least it sounds like it's really disconnected from the rest of the game. It's not trying to be canon. It is just like something for fun. So whatever. If you want it, it's there. It's nothing. I'm like, again, they released this at a really bad time. Like, I have too much shit to play, including Red Dead Redemption itself. So I don't have time to be going back to a single player adventure where I shoot zombies in Red Dead. If that came out in the summer, I probably would have made time for it, you know?
George?
I really don't care. I mean, I unfortunately I'm kind of at that point where I'm over zombies. I played Dead Rising 2 for a couple of hours and it's a great game, but the whole time I'm just going, yeah, I think I'm done with zombies. And, you know, I think also just kind of on a game-specific level, the game mechanics of Red Dead Redemption, just the, you know, the shooting mechanics, the way combat actually works, the combat in Red Dead is not suited for crowd control. So I have this feeling that it would just make a really clunky zombie game. But, I mean, even on top of that, even if it were a great zombie game, I still wouldn't really care that much because I don't know, for some reason I'm just tired of zombies. I'm done.
George, you have bought or will buy Super Scribblenauts.
That's a good question. I haven't bought it, obviously. But I don't
That's a good question. Let me think.
Let me think about whether or not I bought it. No, I mean obviously I haven't bought it. Will I buy it? I hadn't really paid that much attention to it. It was only, I think, yesterday that I noticed a couple of people saying that it was apparently much better than the first one. I don't know if I don't think I'm going to pick it up. I mean, just because, you know, as impressive as Scribblenauts is, you know, puzzle games of that nature, you know, I guess like puzzle platformers, I guess, is the genre that would fall into. They don't really interest me that much, which is weird because, like, you know, I loved Lost Winds, right? And that's, you know, that's a similar genre, you know, puzzle solving, side scrolling platformer. But I don't know. I'm impressed, you know, that it, and I'm sure it's a very good game. It's just it doesn't really interest me, I guess.
Did Lost Winds 2 ever come out?
Yeah. It's been out on WiiWare for, like, months. It's called Winter of the Melodias. It's pretty great.
I gotta get on that. All right, AJ, Gribblenauts.
Yeah, probably not.
I just find it weird how much excitement there was for the first Gribblenauts. Then when it came out, no one said it was, you know, it was like, oh, it's underwhelmed. Now this one's supposed to be good and no one cares.
It's just, I got so burned on the first one. I really did. And the thing is, I didn't even get that burned on the controls, which were its own issue. But even when the first one came out, like, every preview was like, all these guys like, oh, I tried to break it. I couldn't break it. It always worked, blah, blah, blah. I broke that game in the first 5 minutes. Like, there was that really early puzzle where you had to get past a bee. I tried to make a beekeeper suit. That didn't work. I tried to make a beehive. That didn't work. I tried to make a bug net. It didn't work. Like, none of this stuff worked that I thought was pretty obvious solutions. And this one has, like, the whole adjective thing, which some people say, oh, now there's more stuff you can use. To me, it just reads as there's more things I'm going to try to do that aren't going to work.
That's the thing, right? They've made the possibility space so huge that it's even less likely that you're going to find a good solution.
Right. And like, again, I don't need that game right now. I have too much other stuff to play. And I mean, maybe it's unfair of me, but yeah, I think they kind of lost their chance with me on the concept. Plus, I mean, honestly, it was really cool the first hour or so when you were just like, wait, let's see if this works. Oh, it did. Let's see if I could type this. Oh, that worked too. Ultimately, not a whole lot of a game there. It's fun to dick around with for a little while and show your friends, and it's kind of neat. You could go up to someone and say, type a word, it'll appear. Beyond that,
All right, AJ, last one goes to you. Force Unleashed 2, the day one purchase.
It is not, only because I'm going to Gamefly it and just play it through because, I mean, I beat the first game in a single sitting. I love the first game, but again, too many games, need to budget out my money and time, so that's probably what's going to happen.
Sure.
Oh, shit, I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
Force Unleashed 2 is day one purchase for you. Hey, Ryan.
Day one, that depends entirely on that demo, which is downloading right now.
Well then, get back to us in a day.
Yes.
Oh, that was an anticlimactic end to Let's Go Topical.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
all
right
that.
Though. It was so good otherwise. But let it slide this time. All right, let's go to our week of gaming.
Okay.
I guess I'll start. I've been orating things for a while. All
right.
Let's see. What I want to talk. Well, I guess George asked me about NBA Jam. I just played it for a little bit at my brother's house. Not as guy, obviously. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, you know, it's very NBA Jammy, but I really like the motion controls for it, really. Because I like the whole kind of, like, to make a shot or to dunk, you kind of put, you jolt the Wiimote up, and then you slam it down when you have to make the dunk or when you want to release the ball for the shot, you know?
Mm.
Very satisfying.
That's pretty. I can imagine that would be satisfying. Does it get tiresome after a while, though?
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, I've only played like two games of it so far. I mean, it's not like it doesn't take that much energy, you know. Just I'm not like putting it up above my head. It's just like bump, bump to get my meaning by myself.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's not like crazy. It's not like I'm like standing.
You're not
up
doing this huge theatrical like.
Right. Let me just say, you probably couldn't show me in a, you know, Wii commercial for the game. But, it's very responsive. It's a lot of fun. I think it looks good enough. I like it a lot. Good time. But, you know, not a whole lot to say about it. It's NBA Jam.
Well, I mean, hey, it's if it's NBA Jam, it's NBA Jam.
It's okay by me.
Yep.
I guess you either slam with
the best or you jam.
Or you jam with the rest. Mm-hmm. They need to bring Barkley shit up and jam.
Yes, they do. Oh, my God.
And Gaiden.
Yes.
In its sequel.
Yes.
It's sequel. Oh, no.
I'm sorry. Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden needs a retail release. Like,
oh,
come on.
Oh, my God.
Come on. Yes. That needs to be on XBLA like yesterday.
No. It needs to be out on the 3DS.
Yes.
Like, they need to put a bunch of ridiculous, like,
they would have to be, like, hokey 3D effects. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That has to happen.
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. It's way too good.
You like, want Zombers?
Like,
I'll show you Zombers.
Boy, you get the screen. You can't slam it with the best. He's, like, shooting balls at it. And, oh, my God. Way too good.
Chaos Dunk Advisory Warning.
The screen. Okay.
I need to go back. Also, I'm going to go back and play that game again tomorrow. Thank you.
Yes. Sonic 4, Episode 1.
Yes, let's talk about Sonic 4.
Well, you played it on the iPhone.
I beat it on the iPhone. Well, iPad. It's right. The iPhone version of Scale of my iPad. I really enjoyed it. Sought it out, sat down, and said, I want to play this right now, and I did, and I liked it.
I liked it too, I think.
And I got on the 360 as well. I'm halfway through it on the 360.
How much is it on the iPad? Is it $15?
No, it's 10 on there.
But it's $15 on the Xbox and PlayStation.
And we, yes.
I don't get this whole Episode 1 thing, I gotta be honest.
It's just a short game, that's all.
I feel like that's the excuse. Is that they're making they're like, we can make this long, or we can make it short, and like maybe we'll make another one later.
If it ended on a cliffhanger and a to-be-continued screen, fine. You could call it Episode 1. A slight spoiler to the story of Sonic 4. The game ends...
Wait, it has a story?
Actually, no. It doesn't. It probably has less of a story than the other ones, even.
Yes. Here's what happens at
the other ones had a story? I thought you were just rescuing the woodland
the
creatures
Emeralds.
from their robotic prisons.
Well, yeah. Anyway, here's what happens at the end. This isn't a story so much, so I don't know, maybe you want to skip this. You do a very traditional Japanese-style boss gauntlet where you have to refight the four previous bosses. Then you fight Eggman's final incarnation, which has a really bullshit gimmick at the very end that you can't figure out.
Yeah.
Like, it's a trial and error thing, but error means you die and start the fight over.
And it's a
so
long fight.
You,
by the
you
way,
racked up 20 lives
why
while
were
playing
they,
the game before.
Why were they adding bad video game cliches in Sonic? Like, the boss gauntlet thing has never been there before. What was that about?
I don't know. But anyway, the thing is, I mean, it is a final boss in the Sonic tradition. You do that, and the game ends.
Well, it's like, the game ends with Sonic running around with his animal friends and jumping at the screen.
Yeah.
I don't see what's Episode 1 about it, except for the fact that it's short.
Yeah, like, I mean, Episode 2 is basically going to be Sonic 5, but also a short game.
Right. Do you, like... Okay, do you think this game might be too retro, or not retro enough in
some
way?
No, honest to God, it works for me totally. I'd almost feel like a dick if I didn't like it. Because this is what I told them to make for years, and they did it. And it's not... And it pisses me off when reviews are saying this, because it's not true. It is not a hold down the right button and jump occasionally.
No, it's not.
It slows down. It has platforming. I think the physics are fine. People are bitching about that.
The physics, I'll tell you what. I played Sonic 1 today for just a little bit just to compare it. It's definitely a little different.
That's fine.
It's not like, say, Mega Man 9, where it was like, oh my god, this feels exactly like Mega Man 2 did.
I know, but like, one of the reviews was bitching about how, like, you know, Sonic can't get running very fast and... He never could. That's what the spin dash was always for. Like, that's how they were. Like, people don't remember this. Everyone has this romanticized idea of what the Sonic Genesis games were. And I think if they went back and played them, they'd realize how wrong they are.
Here's a couple of problems, though. Well, let's say this, because I think you'll agree. The music sucks ass.
The music
I was going to say that. My roommate was playing the 360 version yesterday. The music is excruciating.
I can't tell if it's just bad arrangements, but the instruments
the instruments are terrible. They just have these like really awful MIDI instruments. It's terrible.
Doesn't sound like a Genesis game at all.
No, it just sounds bad.
See, that's what I'm confused, because like some aspects of it are so super retro, like the minimalistic story, like the zones are straight out of old Sonic games, the boss fights are almost all out of old Sonic games. But then at the same time, like, well, if we're gonna go that far, then how come the music doesn't fit? How come you didn't just
why can't it be
graphics?
Why can't it be when I get the invincibility? Then why isn't da 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 da? Why is that not playing?
But you know what I mean. It seems like sometimes they go retro and sometimes they don't, and I don't know why. It seems arbitrary almost.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is kind of a weird decision. It's just the only thing that I know is that. When I came into the apartment last night and my roommate was playing it, I thought he was listening to a Wesley Willis album. I was like, this is... What are you listening to? Music recorded on a Casio keyboard? Like, well, what's going on? What is this crap? It's really... That music is awful. I'm sorry.
But here's what I gotta say, though.
That put
me
off the whole game,
actually. Act 2 of the Casino Zone, I thought was, like, one of the best Sonic acts I've played, actually.
Act 2 was really cool. Act 1, though... was like, I've played this before.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, some of the stage gimmicks are really cool. Like, the one level where you have the torch, I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to it yet, but I saw the videos of it.
Wait, was that not in the iPhone version or something?
No, that was not, and Act 2 of Casino Zone actually was not in the iPhone version.
That's very weird. But, I don't know. See, and I think I like this game, but there's just a lot of weird, nagging thing. Like, I don't like Sonic model the way he's, like, glossy.
Yeah, it looks like they have, like, early Unreal Engine 3 issues, except it's pre-rendered.
Right, yeah, like the shiny problem. It's like Gears of War 1 or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it's a little frustrating. So good, I guess. Kind of frustrating.
I like
it. Let me tell you this, though. Let's just take it, you know, they want to call it Sonic 4? Fine, let's call it Sonic the Hedgehog 4. Let's forget all the retro stuff and whatever. Does it live up to that name?
It might if it were longer.
Well, it's not, though. So does it live up to that name? Even if it was longer, is this a success? Is this really the successor to Sonic and Knuckles?
No, this is the successor to Sonic 1.
That's what it kind of feels like. It feels like the Sonic 2 that could have been.
Yeah. Like, let's just say they never made any Sonic games after Sonic 1, and then they decided to make a new one with HD graphics similar to the original. I mean, see, here's the thing. Like, I know we all said no more of Sonic's crappy friends. I'm okay with Tails and Knuckles.
Yeah.
I think it would have been cool if they were in the game.
It's a little disappointing that, just for the sake of having co-op it.
Yeah, something. And, you know, like, I like the different shield varieties from Sonic 3. I thought that was a good thing. You know, I wouldn't have minded seeing that come back. I don't like the special stages. They're clunky.
They are clunky.
It's like Sonic's, like, sticky.
It's kind of nice sometimes, but, like, the bouncer pads annoy the shit out of you.
Yeah, and just sometimes the controls go the direction I want to. Sometimes, they don't. I can't figure out why I have a disconnect.
Like I said, I mean, it's ultimately good, but, like, almost constantly I'm seeing just little things that are nagging the hell out of me. Mm-hmm. Like, the boss fights aren't as good as they should be.
It's one of those games that when everything's working, it's clicking with you, you're like, oh, this is great. Yeah. This is exactly what I wanted. No, when it's not, you're like, huh?
There are moments, too, I'm like, oh, this is so awesome. This is great. And then, like...
Yeah, like I said, like, that second act of Casino Zone was phenomenal. I was playing through it, and I was like, yeah, this is right.
I'm surprised that was the only level that really played with the whole 3D thing at all, though, because, like, sometimes he would go in those stack of cars and he would be running towards them behind
and it was
the background.
Cool. I really liked that.
But, like, that's the only time they ever play with it like that. Like, Sonic CD played with that more than that.
Mm-hmm. And here's the question I have for you now, too. What's your final opinion on the homing attack?
I think it's mostly pretty cool. If it's good that it's an easy way to kind of get some speed going, because, and I know you said earlier you don't think that it takes them longer to start up, but it does a little bit. It's good you can use that to get going. Every once in a while, though, that homing attack doesn't do what you want it to do. And
right.
You die because of it.
Yeah. That's annoying.
That's the one thing. I mean, look, here's overall, I'll take this over Sonic Unleashed any day.
Yeah, that's very true.
Let's say that. Things that really upset me, though, I don't like the tool. Like, we don't even know what the episodic thing means in the game. Like, they haven't said anything about episode 2.
Right.
I don't know. We'll see. I guess it was fun.
Yes.
I guess I'm upset I don't love it. Like, let's say it does not do for Sonic what Mega Man 9 did for Mega Man.
I could say this with absolute certainty. It's certainly the first Sonic game I've liked in, like, close to 10 years.
That's fair enough.
So that's something.
That in itself is significant.
Yeah. Anything else you played?
I've been playing more Professor Layton. We all know what Professor Layton is about at this point, so.
Yes, yes.
Nice thing I can't talk about.
Oh, you're that guy.
Yeah,
look at you.
Kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Okay. George, you want to go?
I have, actually, oddly enough, I have also been playing a little something that I can't talk about. At least not yet, anyway, but mark my words, it is awesome.
You can tell me about it after the show, though, right?
Yes.
I'll tell you mine. I'll show you yours. Show me. Wait, I'll show you mine if
shut
you
up,
show me
shut
yours.
Up. No, we're not doing that.
AJ's like, I don't want to hear this.
Right, next.
Yeah, I...
What'd I say next for? We're not doing news anymore. Yeah, that's so, just my go-to thing when I want to
next.
Keep going, George.
That's your way of moving on to the next topic.
I want to hear what you're saying, though.
I haven't really had very much time to play, but I mean, you know, in between things, I've still been playing. I'm playing plenty of Reach. Actually, last night, between yesterday and today, Josh Hamrick, one of Bungie's systems designers and a graduate of Full Sail, has been in town. He gave a talk earlier this evening, which was awesome. So, Josh, if you're listening, thank you. Last night we had a huge Halo Reach LAN party on campus to to kind of to welcome him, and also just as an excuse to have a LAN party. I kind of sort of helped organize it, but I didn't really do that much. Mostly with one of my instructors, and actually the everybody knows them as the Halo wedding couple, the couple that got married with that huge like Halo themed wedding. They're actually Full Sail students, which is awesome.
Nice.
We organized this whole thing and, told people, hey, bring an Xbox, bring your TV, just like show up, we'll have a LAN party. We did not expect nearly the turnout that we had. From 9 p.m. to about 4 in the morning, we had somewhere close to 50 people in one of the auditoriums with just rows of TVs and Xboxes playing Reach. And, man, what an exquisitely tuned game. I adore Reach. I mean, of course, I love all the Halo games, so should be obvious.
I just realized I accidentally skipped a news story. I have it written down. I went right over it.
What, the map pack?
They announced their map pack, yes. Which is pretty awesome. I'm stoked about that.
About it.
But
November 30th, $10. Yep. 250 more achievements and 3 maps.
Oh, I am all up in that shit. It's going to happen. But yeah, so, I had our LAN party. I've been playing a lot of Reach. And actually, of course, now I actually have a clip of me killing a Bungie employee on my file share now. So now I get to be that guy. Like, yeah, that's right. I killed a dude work for Bungie. And of course, now I am hell bent on getting that skull helmet for myself. By which I mean actually working there, not through some other bullshit means like what happened with Recon in Halo 3 rather. Obviously playing Reach, played a fair amount of Lords of Shadow, maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours of it. I don't feel particularly compelled to continue playing it, I guess just because I don't really feel very strongly about the game. I haven't felt very strongly about a lot of games, actually. It's been weird. I've been so ambivalent about so many games that I should absolutely adore.
I played the demo for Castlevania, and I came off strangely impressed.
I will tell you this much. First of all, Castlevania Lords of Shadow is the best God of War game I've ever played. It is a better God of War game than all of the God of War games. I mean that in like almost a very, very literal sense. You're fighting with that, that cross with the whips on it. It's like you're using the chain swords. The camera is fixed and it behaves in a very similar way to the God of War camera. The voice acting is quite good. Patrick
Except
Stewart, of
they
course.
They probably should have not had Patrick Stewart's first little narrated soliloquy end with something about preventing the dawn of oblivion, because I read, I was like, Earlier Septim?
Oh, yeah, yeah, because yeah, that's true. I almost wonder if that was in there on purpose as a joke, just because it was
I
him.
Know. I already thought like it sounded like just like the way he did his voice for that, and he's like, can this wanderer prevent the coming of oblivion.
Yeah, you're like, wait, what? Yeah, it's actually, I do like the fact that the dialogue in Lords of Shadow, it does a fantastic job of splitting the difference between like actual decent, competent voice acting, like you would get out of Uncharted or out of an Insomniac game, and the sort of camp, corny
you know, kind of just like overwrought bullshit of a Castlevania game. It does a fantastic job of writing that line. And that, I mean, like the writing absolutely impressed me, specifically because of that. Because it's a great compromise between, you know, like the sort of the Castlevania formula of just this like overwrought, what is a man? And, you know, actually decent dialogue. And
you know what impressed me the most about the game? It's a weird little thing. I'm trying to think how to articulate this. Something about the cinematic presentation of the game, both in gameplay and its in-engine cinematics, it's very film-like.
Yes.
Like, it actually feels like it's running at a 24 frame per second with motion blur.
Yeah.
Like, here, Mike, I know how to explain this to you, because you'll understand this. You know how, like, TVs do that like, smooth motion thing that you hate?
Yes.
Okay, imagine every video game ever to this point has been a TV with smooth motion turned on. This game is smooth motion turned off.
I mean, I knew what you were saying from the beginning, but yeah. I get you.
And yeah, it's just something, like, I don't know, I've been saying for years, I don't know why games don't do this. Like, it actually makes it look really good when things are moving. Like, there's a part in the demo, at least, where you're, like, there's a little mini game segment where you're, like, riding on horseback, fighting off these wargs with, like, werewolves on top. And just the way everything's going past the camera, it looks really cool.
Yeah.
It almost looks like the background is an FMV that you're superimposed on, but you know it's real time. It's really cool.
I will say that Lords of Shadow is only the second game that I have ever played in which I genuinely thought that I was watching a pre-rendered cinematic when it turned out to be real time. And, you know, like, you know, when the game started, I'm kind of watching it. I'm like, all right, cool, watching this pre-rendered bullshit. Like, when does the game start? And then it goes right into the game. And it's only the second time that's ever happened. Because, you know, most of the time I'm, like, scrutinizing it, and I'm kind of, you know, poking around. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, I can see, like, the edges of the polygons here. Okay, this is real time. It's kind of cool. But in this case, I saw the opening sequence of the game, and I didn't even think to look at it. I just took it for granted that I was watching a pre-rendered cinematic. And then the game starts. And I stopped for a second and was like, wait, what? From as far as presentation and polish is concerned, Mercury Steam knocked it out of the park. I do have to say, Mercury Steam could not have asked for a better North American debut. Because, I mean, you know, they're huge in Spain and they have a pretty long history. But as far as I know, they've never released a high-profile game in North America. So for this to be their debut in the U.S. and Canada, holy shit. I mean, major props to those guys. I mean, again, the fact that I am personally ambivalent about the game has more to do with where I am in my life than it does about the quality of the game. It is a fantastic game.
I still want to get it.
It's you should. It's really good. I mean, if you can... I would say get the PS3 version only so that you don't have to do the disc swapping bullshit, but... You know, frankly, it's a good game nonetheless. And then other than that, I've been playing a handful of Final Fantasy IV Heroes of Light on the DS.
Is that any good?
I love it. I really, really like it. I mean, again, it lends credence to the fact, to my belief that the extent to which I like a Final Fantasy game is inversely proportional to how much like a Final Fantasy game it is. Because, I mean, you know that I loved 12, right? I mean, that's my favorite Final Fantasy. And, right. You know, and of course, I feel like that has a lot to do with the fact that it's not a typical Final Fantasy game. Four Heroes of Light, same thing. You know, it's interesting that they chose the art style that they went with, because it's very storybook, it's very pleasant, a lot of pastel colors. It's a beautiful game. I mean, you know, like a DS or not. I mean, just the art that went into it is gorgeous. A lot of these really nice sort of... a lot of the graphical effects are these really cool... the kind of shortcuts that you would see in traditional animation back in the 70s. There are points where you'll walk past a field of, you know, like tall grass or wheat or whatever. And to provide the illusion of wind passing over the field, the game literally just takes this little, like, wavy white polygon strip and moves it across the top of the grass. And so, you know, it's this, like, really, really basic kind of shortcut that you would see in, like, you know, hand-drawn anime from, like, 30 years ago. But it's a very, it has a very specific flavor stylistically, and it's beautiful. But it makes the game look friendlier than it actually is. Four Heroes of Light will hand you your ass. I mean, the Final Fantasy games have generally been fairly easy. I got my ass kicked by the first monster I ran into three different times before I was able to kill it.
Huh.
And, like, that's never happened before, so of course, the moment that happened, I was like, yes, I love this game, because it's completely different. Every character has 15 inventory slots. That's all you get. Each character can only hold 15 things, and if you get more than that, too bad, you can't bring it with you. And when you equip an item, it stays in your inventory, and there's just a little E next to it. So, you know, once you put on one of your little hats, and you have your sword, and, you know, you have, like, you know, your armor and your boots and whatever, then you have, like, a couple of extra job hats, then, like, each character can only carry, like, 7 or 8 items, so you actually have to be, you know, you have to prepare for things, you know, you have to know what's up ahead, you gotta pick items that are sort of tailored to what you're going into, and the mentality is very different from, you know, any other Final Fantasy game, right? You just, like, load up your inventory, and then whenever you need to use something, you just scroll through it and use it. Here, you actually have to think ahead, and I like that. So, I mean, I think it's a brilliant game. It is definitely not a Final Fantasy game. I kind of feel like they may have done it a disservice by calling it Final Fantasy. But, you know, also the story does kind of still have some of those Final Fantasy themes, right? You know, the whole, like, the life and death and the crystals and all that. So it's, I guess it's a little bit harder to separate it from the franchise, as it were. But it's, if you go in expecting a Final Fantasy game, you'll be disappointed. But if you don't, it's a really good game.
All right. Anything else, Boris?
No, that's pretty much everything I've been playing.
AJ, anything you need to bring up?
All right. First, I need to tell a quick Red Dead Redemption story.
All right.
One about this... where you suck?
Yes, I did suck. Oh, I may have found the answer to consequence for player death in video games, because here's what happened to me. This might be a spoiler. Yeah, I mean, I knew it was coming, so... Okay. So, as many of you know, when you enter Mexico in the game, a song starts playing. And it's like this very cinematic... You ride to the next town while this song plays. The song is awesome. It's this... People have been hyping this moment up to me since the game came out. And I was finally like, oh, fuck, yes, I'm going to Mexico. Get to do this thing. So, get on my horse. Song starts playing. I'm excited. I'm trying to run along on my horse. And you get to a part on the path that's on a cliff. And I'm going too fast, and I didn't realize my horse wasn't going to be able to turn this corner fast enough. So what's the dumb thing do? It just runs off the cliff. I land in the river and die. Okay, I say. I guess I have to do that again. Nope. Where they load you after you die is somewhere else. The song does not play. I missed it.
Oh. That
I did.
What?
I got
like the first 20 or 30 seconds of it, so I got the intention of it. I knew it was happening.
Right. You didn't actually get to have that experience. The game just spawned you somewhere else and then just totally interrupted that whole moment.
Well, he killed himself, George. Don't blame the game. Why were you going that fast? You know what I did? I just went on the slowest trot I could. To enjoy that moment.
I'm gonna fucking ride my horse. I was excited.
Oh, wait. Was there a combat happening at this moment?
No. Like I said, the road took a sharp bend on a cliff.
He
I didn't
misjudged
realize
the turn.
Okay.
Basically, that's what.
Oh,
happened.
Oh. So there were no enemies around. You were just galloping in a straight line.
No, on a curve.
He killed himself, George. He ruined it. He blew it.
I mean, yeah, that's interesting, actually, because, you know, I guess that, you know, if you
you know, if you think about my whole like method acting theory of games, you know, that is a moment where you kind of broke character, whether it was intentional or not. I mean, that's actually one of the reasons that I absolutely love the fact that Red Dead and Assassin's Creed, and I can't even think of any other games that do it. I think it's just Assassin's Creed and Red Dead.
Okay, are you saying I broke character by going fast?
Yes, that is what I'm saying.
No, see, I thought I was being in character because you're just getting to Mexico. You're on the trail of Bill Williamson. Like, he wants to get to the town, and there's this song playing about how hard it is and how he's far away.
My impulse was to take it slow. It was the only time in the game for me. I just knew to go slower.
You were metagaming because John Marston does not hear that song.
He certainly can tell the thunderstorm's happening, though.
Go ahead. I didn't have a thunderstorm.
George, finish your thought. I want to hear what you're saying.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess also, to me, it had a lot to do with the fact that the song is pretty melancholy. So, you know, kind of, you know, it created that atmosphere where I was doing that. But, of course, now I'm trying to remember where I was
going. You're saying something that Assassin's Creed and
that's one of the reasons that I love the fact that Red Dead and Assassin's Creed, and I think they're the only games that do this, actually map running to a button. So that the default movement, if you're just using the control stick, is always going to be a walk. And if you want to move faster than that, you have to press another button.
I do walk a lot in that game. I ride my horse slow.
I am usually a very good horse driver.
No, I'm not even saying I'm a good horse driver. I'm just saying, like, it's not like I'm always running everywhere. I do slow down when I think it makes sense. My interpretation of the scene was it made sense to be riding hard to get to where I'm going. And while he's riding, he is collecting his thoughts, and this song is playing in his head.
It's so good that when you get into the town, and like the song dies down, and the thunderstorm is like dies down just a second after it, though. So you hear
I think
that
thunderstorm
thunder.
Was a coincidence for you, because I also did not have a thunderstorm. It was just the sun.
No
the
way,
sun.
George. There's a thunderstorm, right?
I actually didn't have a thunderstorm.
What?
That might have just been a coincidence.
Man, that was a happy coincidence thing, because that was awesome.
This is going to further my point now, actually, that I was about to make. It made me think, like, I just essentially missed out on what everyone was calling one of the top gaming moments of 2010.
Yes, ever, actually. I would say ever.
And the reason for this happening is because this is an open-world game where shit like this can happen. So, on one hand, it's interesting, I guess, that this happened to me. But on the other hand, like, would I have been more satisfied if the game did become linear at this point? And
you No! You're not changing anything about Red Dead Redemption.
The question.
No, shut up. You're not touching that game.
Well, I mean, I am kind of with AJ on this to some extent, because I mean, first of all, I don't really give a shit whether a game is linear or not. All I care about is it interesting? Right. I mean, as long as it's interesting, the context doesn't really matter. I mean, as far as making the game linear, I mean, that would be inconsistent with the rest of the game. But I do think that at least in that moment, what Rockstar should have done was make a checkpoint at the moment that the song starts, and then at any point that you die, it brings you back to that checkpoint and starts the song
again.
Like,
I can't imagine in playtesting. They didn't see what would happen if you died.
Well, I mean,
in the
okay. Here's
that, you know?
Now, here is I mean, here's the funny thing about playtesting, that 9 times out of 10, when you're in QA, the people who are doing the QA, they're looking for bugs, they're looking for ways that the game breaks, they're looking for ways that, you know, like parts of the simulation are going to fall apart. They're looking for crashes. They're looking for anything that doesn't live up to platform certification. And, you know, clearly, since Red Dead even still has some bugs in it, you know, their QA had their hands full. And, you know, the thing is, when you work QA, and when you're playing the same game day in and day out for, you know, hours and hours and hours looking for bugs, looking for, you know, things that are very systematic, you know, you're not necessarily going to be looking for, I guess, what you would call user experience inconsistencies. Like, for instance, you know, how the game copes with when the player makes a mistake.
Well, see, I would even say that's not even QA's job. That's the designer's job.
Well, I mean, yes.
I mean,
but
the thing is, like, that scene is so clearly, deliberately placed. Like, you have to think that they wanted to make sure you experience
it. Yes, and, you know, but again, things like that, right, those only come up during playtesting, and, you know, like, in a lot of cases, the designers can't pick up on every little thing during playtesting, because, you know, what usually happens with design problems is that people playtest, and then they go, hey, this part of the design doesn't really work, and then the designers work around it. So, you know, that particular sequence... I'm pretty sure that they built the sequence on the assumption that because there was no combat, the player wasn't going to die. And, you know, okay, it's an unfortunate loophole that they didn't account for that. Perhaps they should have. You know, I think that the smart way to design that sequence would be to put a checkpoint down the moment that the song starts, and then if the player dies before the song ends, bring them back to the beginning of the song and start the moment over.
You're giving AJ too much credit here. He killed himself.
So?
He was doing a bad job.
So?
Here's why I'm mad.
But does that deny him the right to experience a part of the game that is actually, I mean, like, pretty important to our culture, since it was as significant as it was?
Well, who knows if even Rockstar knew how significant and how much people were going to like that part.
Well, I mean, yeah, but, I mean, you know, like, again, what I'm saying is, like, they shouldn't have changed the structure of the game. It's that, you know, it probably would have been a good idea to put some kind of little ad hoc thing in place just to, you know, just to take into account whether or not the, I mean, like, for instance, in Gears of War, you have these moments where the game slows down, Marcus lowers his gun, puts his hand up to his head, and talks on the little intercom thingy, and you slow to a walk. And you're still in control of the character. You can still move them around. It's just you're walking. You can't shoot. You can't get behind cover because this is like our little story sequence. And, you know, they have this happen when you're, you know, in a confined space and there's no immediate threat, so you don't have to worry about dying when it happens. But, you know, like, I've had, you know, like, a freak instance once or twice where I have died during one of those sequences. And what the game does is it just spawns me right back at the, you know, at the point just before that little dialogue sequence started, and it does it again. So even though it's really unlikely and kind of ridiculous that I died at that point, the game was still designed to handle that.
Okay, maybe it's lame, and maybe Rockstar's wrong here. Sucks for AJ. But I'm just upset now because every time I'm going to, for, you know, the next 10 years, I'm going to talk about how awesome this game was. I'm going to have to hear AJ bring up how he died and wasn't able to
see this part. I want to make this very clear. I bear the game no ill will because I understand that, yes, in the end, it was kind of my fault that I fell. I'm upset that nothing was in place to compensate for that, but whatever.
You know what you should do? Can you download save files, AJ?
Not on the Xbox. Here's the other thing. I mean, I have a save file before it, but it's like two missions back.
Two missions? Really that's not that much. You should have gone back, I think. I would have gone back for it.
You know me. I hate replaying segments of a game I've just played. I hate doing all right, it. That's why I like.
Okay, let's move on, though. You're liking Red Dead?
I still freaking love the game. It's awesome.
All right. What else do you have? This is going on pretty long.
I know. Let's see. I played the Force Unleashed 2 demo.
Oh, how is that?
You like the first one, you're going to like this.
Is it control a little smoother?
I guess. The one thing I was hoping they changed and they didn't, is aiming is still character relative and not camera relative. When you're trying to, like, highlight an object to throw, you have to make Starkiller face it, not where you're pointing the camera, which I think is still creepy.
That's kind of a drag.
Yeah, I was really hoping they'd correct that.
Well, actually, the biggest complaint that I had with the original Force Unleashed was the fact that it was really visually busy. I mean, just like graphically, the screen, it was so busy. There was so much texture, and I guess so much like visual noise that during some of the sequences of the game, I literally could not find Starkiller on the screen. Like, I couldn't see him. I didn't know where he was because there was just too much other detail that just got all muddied and I couldn't see. Is, like, does Force Unleashed 2 look the same way that the first one does? Does it have these, like, just densely packed areas of detail where you just can't make out anything?
I don't quite know how to answer that because I didn't have that problem.
Okay.
I think it looks really, excuse me, really good. The demo starts on Kamino, the cloning planet from Episode 2, mm-hmm. So it's, like, raining and everything, and I think it all looks really good, actually. Also, I like what they're doing with the story, because we were all like, spoiler from the first game, Starkiller, he's dead, how can you bring him back, and blah, blah, blah. I actually think it makes sense. I kind of like what they're doing with it. It's actually really interesting. So,
Their explanation for bringing
him
back?
He's a clone now, isn't he?
Yeah, Vader began cloning Starkiller in an attempt to basically pick up where he left off with his Jedi apprentice. And, like, you find out, like, there have been other clones before you that mentally broke down and Vader just killed them. And he was hoping, like, to have finally corrected the problem because some of the real Starkiller's memories keep creeping out in your head and you're having these memories of, like, Juno and Kota and all these things. And Vader is just about to kill you because he thinks you're also a failure and you break out and escape from the facility, basically. So you like it's a journey of figuring out who you are, where you came from, and trying to, I guess, just A, get revenge on Vader, and B, figure out if you're worthy of even being this person.
Yes.
That is awesome.
One. Kind of underrated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I love the first game. I thought it was fantastic.
I think it's great. I mean, it's actually, you know, before Lords of Shadow, was the best God of War game I've ever played.
Okay, see, now that's getting... This is my thing. I don't like every action game ever now being a God of War game.
Well, no. I mean, I don't compare every action game ever to God of War. I compare every action game that, where you have one character fighting against large groups of enemies all at once with intermittent puzzles. And, you know, I mean, where it's about this sort of combination between light attacks and heavy attacks. I mean, that's sort of the big thing, right?
I can kind of see Castlevania with God of War.
I don't think Force Unleashed really fits that. Because you don't have light and heavy attacks. It's melee, lightning, and force push, and your force throws.
So quiet you, George.
I'm sorry. I'm just really jaded lately, and I think all games look the same. I don't know. Like something happened like about a month ago where I just like I had this moment where I know what happened. I was like organizing my game collection because I'm trying to consolidate stuff, and I was putting all of my games into one kind of big binder and recycling all of the jewel cases, and like I just had this moment where I was just looking at all these games, and I was just like, I have not grown as a person from playing any of these. What the fuck am I doing with my life? And, you know, I got over that, but it's still, like, it creeps in every once in a while, and now it's, like, just... it's making me look at every game and be like, oh, yeah, that's just like God of War. The guy's got a sword, you know, it's close enough, whatever, I don't give a fuck. I'm gonna, like, go outside and work out and shit. I don't know what the hell happened to me, man.
It happens, man. We all have our days. On that note, why don't we go on to the game releases?
Hang on, I'm not done.
Oh my gosh, Eddie, what do you have left? Tell me.
I'm sorry, one quick one and one not as quick one, but not too long.
Do the not real as quick one.
DJ Hero 2, I played it real quick at
Best Buy.
You don't
like DJ Hero 1, so I'm sure you didn't give a shit.
Here's my thing. I like DJ Hero, I just hate that fucking turntable.
Well, does it stick better for you?
No.
Then let's move on.
Okay.
Next.
World of Warcraft's 4.0.1 patch was released on Tuesday, which is basically like the Cataclysm patch.
Yeah.
My roommate spent like 10 minutes bugging out over the water. While I was playing Reach right next to him, and I'm like, dude, water? We've been doing this for like years over here, buddy.
World of Warcraft is, I mean, keep in mind, a game from 2004 had a very basic repeating water.
Yeah, it was just this like big tile.
And it wasn't like transparent or anything. And then like I was like playing it, and I was like fighting some Murlocs in the water, and it didn't even occur to me because it was like, oh, there's a Murloc through that water, I'm going to go get it. And I'm like, I'm swimming, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm making ripples.
Oh, look at the water.
Oh, man, look at it. It's so sweet. Yeah, the only problem is...
The water is, like, normal mapped and cool looking. The Mac version got the better shadows from the PC version, which makes me happy. They upped the particle effects and all kinds of things. So, like, it looks nicer.
The Mac version got better shadows than the PC version? How did that happen?
Yeah, the PC version with one of the last big updates did environmental shadows, but the Mac didn't.
Oh.
So, like, if you were, like, under tree branches, you would see the shadows of individual branches on your character.
Oh.
So now that happens.
Oh, okay.
They actually have a really great effect, too, for light bending around objects. Like, if you position your character in front of the setting sun, you could see, like, the rays of light going around your guy. It actually looks really good.
Oh, that's kind of cool. They're doing, like, the god rays.
Yeah, so Yeah. The big thing, of course, is everyone's talents have been reset, and I like what they do now. So, for example, for my rogue, when I went to my talent trees... There were, instead of like the big branching trees we've seen, and you could still get that view, there was just three columns, and it said, what role do you want to play? And it was like assassin, combat, and stealth. And you got to pick the one you wanted. It set you up with some basic abilities, and then you're kind of locked in that talent tree until you've spent so many points. I think it's like 31 or something. Then you can start adding from another talent tree. But it just helps to kind of better specialize everyone and give you just very plain English to tell you what these talents are going to do. Because before, like, you know, you had to go on, like, a website, find a build option, like, idea, go to a talent tree calculator, and do it like that. Now it's just easier to decipher.
I like that. That's a really smart thing. That, like, I've seen some developers do it where if players are using some kind of external service or like some kind of metagaming to get around a game mechanic. I'm always really impressed whenever the developers make that an actual game mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, EVE Online had a similar thing where, you know, there are hundreds upon hundreds of different skills that you can train on your character. And, you know, it used to be that, you know, if you wanted to play a particular role, you had to go to a website and you had to figure out, oh, okay, like, I need to be flying this kind of ship and I need to get these skills for this ship and then these other skills for all the modules I'm going to put on this ship. And if I'm going to be a combat pilot, I should be armor tanking and I need these other skills and like all this. And it just kind of balloons out and becomes this huge thing that you had to research. And then they added a mechanic called certificates, where if you wanted to get a certificate to perform a particular role, and like it didn't mean that you couldn't do it, but you could get certified to perform a particular role, and the certificate had like a whole series of prerequisite skills. And you're like, oh, okay, now I know what I need to do. And this metagame thing became part of the game. And I think it's really smart that WoW's doing that now.
Mm-hmm. And I got to say, like with my rogue, I went with the combat spec. I'm like a friggin' god now. It's awesome. Like, I can actually solo and handle multiple mobs at once now, which I could not do before. It's so fun. And, you know, they have, like, all the pre-cataclysm things happening. Like, there's random earthquakes, and I don't know why. And even, like, today, like, I was going through Stormwind Keep for a quest, and I just happened to notice that in the King's Throne Room, like, the leaders from every Alliance race were there, and they were, like, were having this discussion about what was going on. And, like, no one else was there but me, so I just kind of, like, hung back and watched this, and I was like, it's kind of cool.
That's pretty neat.
So, yeah.
I gotta say, as much as I am just almost physiologically incapable of enjoying World of Warcraft, Blizzard's attention to detail never ceases to amaze me. Those guys, I mean, just like every tiny little thing, like they make it all work, and that's incredible.
Yeah. So yeah, that and also one quick thing they did in the back end too. It kind of takes a page from Guild Wars. From now on, whenever there's a patch, there's three stages to patch downloads. There's like the first like quarter of it that you have to have for the game to work. Then there's like the next half of it that you kind of need, and the last quarter that you don't really need. So as long as you get that first quarter downloaded, you can start playing, and the rest of it will continue to download and install in the background.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, so it's neat that they're doing that. Hmm. Okay, I'm done.
All right.
It's the longest podcast ever.
Medal of Honor came out on PC, PS3, 360. Apparently,
we gotta do this shit.
Maybe not shit, but yeah, underwhelming.
Well, I love the fact that, it's been getting like what it has like a Metacritic average in like the high 70s, and now like EA is already being like, oh, yep, it's a failure.
Yeah.
No, they were touting its higher than expected sales.
Oh, were they? Oh, no. Okay, then who was it? It was at some point where there was this like whole thing where people were like, you know, had officially declared the game to be a failure because it had like a score in the high 70s.
Went down. Their stock went down.
They did have a stock drop because of the reviews, but it's making money.
I don't really understand that. There seems to be this weird assumption, and like it, I almost feel like everybody adheres to the assumption, not just gamers, but also reviewers and analysts and everybody, that for some reason there appears to be this belief that if a game scores below a 7, it's garbage. Like, no. If it was garbage, it would get like a 2.
Not using this.
Yeah, it's just like it's weird and it's skewed that, you know, a game will get like a 6.5 and everybody's like, oh god, the game was fucking shit. You're like, no. Superman 64 was shit. Okay, if a game gets like a 6.5, it's like okay, or at least it should be. You know,
speaking of 6.5, that's what GameSpot gave to Triple Knots. So there you go.
Yes.
Lost
Planet 2 for PC. Sonic the Hedgehog 4 Episode 1 for 360 Wii and I'm assuming PlayStation.
Yeah, PS3.
Sengoku Basara Samurai Heroes for the Wii and PS3. Lufia Curse of the Sinistra Trolls for DS. What's this now? Another remake of Lufia?
It's a reimagining of Lufia 2 as an action RPG.
That's interesting. Lucha Libre AAA Heroes del Ring for PS3 and 360. Invisimals for the PSP. What are you laughing at, George?
What? I'm sorry. I just think that Lucha Libre game is just, that's awesome. I'm sorry.
That's got to be kind of destined for failure, right?
I mean, yeah, unfortunately. But I just love the fact that it exists.
Yeah, they were like pushing it pretty hard at E3. They had like a ring set up, and the guys were wrestling there.
Oh yeah, they did have luchadors, didn't they?
Invisimals for the PSP. This looks like
another game you can't play on the PSP Go.
Looks like a very low tech version of iPad.
No, it's like an augmented reality thing. You put down a card.
Is that what iPad is?
Yeah, but it's not like a virtual pet. It is more of a game, I guess. I don't know.
The Guild 2 Renaissance PC, Borderlands Game of the Year 60 PS3 PC.
PC.
Wasn't there supposed to be an Uncharted 2 Game of the Year edition?
Isn't that next week?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that's next week. It's too bad that the Game of the Year edition of Borderlands doesn't have the DLC on the disc.
It's just
download vouchers, which I mean that's fine because I mean I don't have any of the DLC, and I've since traded in my copy of Borderlands. I could totally see myself buying the Game of the Year edition, downloading all the DLC for free, but I do kind of think it would be nice if it were all just like kind of wrapped into the game from the get-go. Maybe it's a disc size thing. But, I mean, hey, that's not going to stop me from playing it, because I do love me some Borderlands. There's just something about having numbers fly out of something when you're shooting it that just makes the whole game just amazing.
Well, this brings us to the end.
Oh, you forgot Just Dance 2?
Oh, no, I did not. Well, this brings us to the end. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. My thing stopped recording like an hour ago.
Are you kidding me?
What?
Yes, I am. Oh, man, I had you going.
Oh, AJ, I wish you could have taken a picture of his face when you said that.
It's okay, we would have had an hour-long podcast. Anyway.
I'm so tired right now.
All right, just you close it out. I'm done.
Where would you leave off?
I'm not even telling you.
You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com, twitter.com/explodingbarrel, the iTunes Music Store, and the Zune Marketplace. So, until next time, this is the Exploding Barrel Podcast, and see you later.
Keep exploding, guys.
Okay.
Boom.
still exploding after all these years. I did like the anniversary podcast.
Okay.
I'm stopping this.
Yeah, why not? Okay.